Mazzara and Parra project to Amimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the bay that scare ya. Machado, Orbado, or Nolan Garantano.
Teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Alazric Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Well, I'm not sure if you all are paying attention out there. I know it's the dog days. We're in September here. We only have a few weeks left. But Curtis Granderson has homered in three straight games. Yeah, the Grandy Man can right now. Do we care? That's another story. We'll talk about it here on Fantasy Baseball Today. I am Adam Azer with Scott White. We will also look at today's matchups, tonight's matchups, really, and tell you who to start and sit. Scott, I got a tough call with Alex Cobb in a daily lineups league. Also, what you are doing right now with your computer is absolutely disgusting.
I'm turning you down to look at the keyboard, or are you looking at something else?
I'm on Skype with Scott. You got, you know, I see what's on your webcam, which is your face usually, but you were tilting. What were you doing there?
I was lowering your volume because the knob for that is behind my laptop screen. So I was having to fold down the laptop screen.
Yeah, stop doing, don't do that. Don't stop doing that. Yeah.
I need to turn you down. You're too loud. Just
yeah,
avert
but like,
your eyes.
I mean, like, major crotch shot over and over and over again, just hitting me over the head with it.
Yeah. Well,
so, yeah.
These are occupational hazards, Adam.
That's a great way to put it. Now I'm on disability. So this is the Thursday show. Tomorrow we'll help you get set for Fantasy Week 24. We'll do that on every show to an extent. We'll start with an email. Email of the day from Matt at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Hey, Shaggy and Scooby. Although he spelled it Scobby. Probably Scooby, right?
Scobby?
Yeah, probably Scooby.
Like the... Yeah, you know, Scooby needs two O's.
Two O's, two absolutely.
Yeah.
Is Santiago Casilla still the Giants' closer after another bad outing last night in Colorado?
Well, I would assume so. Yes, I would assume so. And actually, it technically wasn't a blown save for him, which, you know, he has seven of those. So it's they've come up from time to time, but they keep sticking with him. Sergio Romo, Hunter Strickland, I mean, they're okay, but it's not like either of them would be a lights-out option in the ninth. So I feel like they're just going to ride it out with Santiago Casilla. That would be my best guess.
I think what's interesting is the way Bruce Bochy uses his bullpen, especially with Strickland and now with Romo too. Maybe it's four outs, maybe it's one out, maybe it's two outs. He uses guys a lot, but he doesn't often use them just for one inning. And he does that with Casilla. Then, you know, he's the ninth inning guy. So
yeah,
maybe that means he'll want to stick with Casilla in that closer's role, so he doesn't change the routines of the other players.
Right. I mean, it's possible he does have a breaking point here. I know for a while there, it was like Casilla would blow a save a month. And so they were distributed evenly enough that, you know, he'd get over it. Bochy would. But lately it's been especially bad. And so maybe he is finally nearing that breaking point. I'm just not sure that there is a clear replacement or that he wouldn't just, you know, pull Santiago Casilla temporarily and then go right back to him. And he seems pretty set on his roles.
Okay. If you had a roster spot to burn, give me one Giants reliever you would stash right now.
I guess Sergio Romo. I don't know if I'm out of touch with how they've been using their bullpen.
I think that's where I was leaning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me make sure he's been working the eighth consistently.
But that's the thing. He doesn't necessarily work the eighth consistently just because of the randomness of Bruce Bochy. He'll play matchups a little bit more, but I do think he typically pitches after Hunter Strickland.
The last time he worked before the eighth inning was like a month ago. So.
Oh, he worked the eighth yesterday?
Yes.
All right. So
I mean, he didn't record an out technically, but he was in the game in the eighth inning.
Yeah. And look, Casilla blew the save, but it was at Colorado. He gave up a home run. Or, well, he didn't technically blow the save. He struggled, but Also in the bullpen, Cody Allen got a save, his first save since August 21st. In that span, Andrew Miller has two saves, but those two saves came one day after Allen threw 30 pitches and 37 pitches, respectively. So I still say Cody Allen is basically the closer in Cleveland. What say you, Scott White?
He's the first choice for saves until he's not, I think. I still don't really trust that situation. I have him ranked behind like Tyler Thornburg, Fernando Rodney, even though that situation isn't 100% clear either. I'd just rather stay out of it if I can.
Tony Watson bounced back through a scoreless inning, got a save, his 11th for the Pirates yesterday. Email of the day, number two, is from another guy named Matt, different guy. This is a tough question from second Matt here. Can you mention which teams are currently using a six-man rotation? I believe it's up to four or five teams now. I can say that the A's are probably going to go to a six-man as Sean Manaea comes back. Maybe I should say possibly going to one. The Rays are using a six-man rotation. Can you think of any other? Oh, the Cubs are using one with Mike Montgomery. He pitched yesterday.
The Padres are using one. The Blue Jays, I think, backed off theirs. They were one of the first to go to a six-man. And I think they will go back eventually. I think the Rockies are six-man right now.
This was a tough
one. Without going through the teams one by one, I don't think I could tell you with certainty. But I will say that pitching order... it's practically irrelevant this time of year anyway, because with rosters expanded, managers on a whim will just throw a spot starter in there and mess everything up, which is why, on the one hand, it makes sense to be more aggressive going after those two star pitchers because you don't really have to think in terms of upside anymore with your roster spots. But on the other hand, if you're starting a player only because you think he's going to make two starts, you could get burned by that because it could change again on a whim.
Yeah.
So I think you should put, when it comes to pitching decisions, I think you should place an extra emphasis on your higher end pitchers. Obviously the aces you're going to start anyway, but, even guys like Danny Duffy, and Jose Quintana, who I know just had another bad start, but for the most part, I think we trust him.
Yeah,
you're going to give them preferential treatment wherever possible, and then go to two start pitchers to fill in holes as needed.
Yeah, and you said it well yesterday. If there's a two start pitcher whose second start is lined up for a Saturday, if he's pitching Monday and Saturday, you can probably feel more confident about that guy making his two starts compared to a Monday-Sunday or a Tuesday-Sunday guy.
Yes, Matt Boyd was the example I was using, actually.
Right.
So I feel pretty good about him making two starts next week.
All right, so those are our emails of the day. We have a web page of the day. It's on CBSSports.com. I'm not going to just give out the URL, but you can find it on the website on our MLB page. The baseball writers put together a fantasy football team with baseball players that could play football. So, like, because Tim Tebow is now in the Mets organization. And the funny thing is, Tim Tebow is not even the quarterback of the fantasy team. He is a running back on the fantasy team. So, it's a lot of fun. Spoiler alert, Joe Mauer is the quarterback. But find out the other players around baseball that would be good at football that our guys want on a fantasy team. It's good stuff. You'll enjoy it. All right, let's talk about Wednesday's standouts. The touch, the feel of cotton.
You were just hoping he had a good start, weren't you?
No, I don't know. You're the one who broke out the fabric of our lives very, very well.
Dude. Yeah. You want to relive that moment?
You know, it might have been just a one-day thing. But Jarrell Cotton, the fabric of a very good start yesterday. 6 1/3, 2 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. In his major league debut, he faced the Angels without Mike Trout and without Albert Pujols. 12 swinging strikes on 102 pitches, and this was interesting. 3 ground balls and 14 fly balls for Jarrell Cotton, which is not what we saw from him in the minors. But he's 10% owned. Did you add Jarrell Cotton in any leagues yesterday?
I didn't, but I'm a little bit interested here. The more I look at Jarrell Cotton, the more I like him, when sometimes with a mid-level prospect like this, the less I like him. ERA wasn't great at AAA overall, but 282 and six starts with the Athletics affiliate, because, of course, he came over from the Dodgers in the Rich Hill trade. And always, throughout his minor league career, very good strikeout-to-walk ratio, which is the most telling stat for me. So there are things to like here. The changeup looked great. But just to kind of put it in perspective, he was facing the Angels lineup without Mike Trout, without Albert Pujols, without Yunel Escobar, too. So there was it was basically Cole Calhoun, CJ Cron, and a bunch of, you know, borderline major leaguers.
Homer and CJ Cron over there, though.
And Cron was responsible for the one run off of Cotton. So that's something you have to keep in mind. He struck out only three, even against that lineup. So that's why I'm not necessarily looking to pick him up yet.
But they are the lowest strikeout team in baseball.
Fair enough.
That's got to count for
something,
right?
They're still bad hitters.
Yes.
For the most part.
I didn't know what to do. I was debating picking him up. It would have been like dropping James Paxton for him, and I wasn't willing to do that.
No.
Right? That was a good move.
I mean, if he's out there in an AL-only league, that's a different story, of course.
I might drop Luis Sessa for him, and Sessa's pretty owned.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd go that far. I don't have much faith in Sessa. I don't think he deserves to be owned as widely as he is, but I do think he's earned some staying power that maybe Cotton hasn't yet.
All right, so some big news for you. Steven Strasburg left last night's start with elbow discomfort. Scott Kazmir had a setback in his rehab start. Hey, Jose De Leon's going to start at the Yankees next week, Scott White.
Yes!
Woo!
Make sure he's owned. And he may stay because of that Kazmir setback. This may become a regular turn for him.
The Mets signed Tim Tebow. Were you disappointed that the Braves didn't sign Tim Tebow?
I was actually very disappointed because this idea had been teased for basically the whole week, that it seemed like a foregone conclusion he was going to the Braves. I was all geared up to buy my Tebow jersey, number 15. Seriously, I was going to do this. I was excited. I was going to enjoy it. Obviously,
you're
going
to wear that
chances,
to work quite a bit, too.
I would have, yeah. The chances of him becoming a viable major leaguer, even making an appearance in the majors, are very small. But it just would have been so much fun. I would have enjoyed it.
Well, at least he's not, you know, going to a major media market or anything like that, you know?
I know. That is, I mean, and look, maybe that appealed to him in making this decision. But I feel like part of my argument for a team to sign Tebow was that the media attention he was going to get would be a welcome distraction, because it would take the pressure off the actual prospects in the organization. Because normally there's a lot of local media pressure on them to perform right away. All the attention would be paid to Tebow, so that would be a good thing.
And the Mets don't have any prospects, so what was the point?
Well, in the Mets case, I think the media attention will just be so overboard, since of course it's New York, that it will actually defeat itself and become a detriment. And it'll just the constant Tebow talk will drive everybody crazy.
Oh yeah,
and they'll be happy when he's finally out of the organization. That's what I fear
now,
is going
though.
To happen.
I wasn't really rooting for him in football.
Yeah,
but which is lame, because he didn't deserve that. But I host the fantasy football podcast, and I definitely said, not just me, but everybody pretty much said he wouldn't be good, and I didn't want to be wrong, so I was rooting against him. But now I can root for him, and I hope he does well.
They don't have
any prospects, do they, the Mets? I didn't speak out of turn there.
No, they have some prospects. They don't have like another Noah Syndergaard coming up, but they have a few good prospects. I do want to mention, though, because it seems like there's a big negative reaction from Mets fan base with this signing, and
I just texted my friend. I hadn't done this yet. My friend is like the biggest Mets fan I know. I just texted him, Tebow. So let's see what he says back. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, and maybe they're just anticipating that media
overboard attention that I was referring to, but like this, there are most minor leaguers are pretty awful. Only 10% ever reach the majors, even, you know, just for an at bat or whatever. Most minor leaguers are bad players. So adding another one to the mix doesn't really reflect on your organization in any way, you know?
Yeah.
Teams sign tens of dumpy minor league players every year just to fill out the roster. And I mean, the whole idea that he's taking some more deserving player's place is ridiculous because, I mean, we only ever talk about a teeny tiny fraction of all the minor leaguers in existence. The most are never heard from.
Well, that's right. And why do we have so many levels of minor leagues? It doesn't make any sense to me. It's such a waste of time and money. These people
that's
are wasting
point.
Their lives away playing in the minors. It's ridiculous. And not only that, like, I just feel like money could be better spent somewhere else. And they're completely underpaid too. It's just like, it doesn't seem like a very good life. And it's their prerogative. They can do whatever they want. But nobody's paying attention. It's just worthless. We could totally survive with one level of minor leagues. Absolutely. It just doesn't make any sense. Or go to college. I mean, why do we have so many minors? I don't get it. I don't think there's a good answer. I just refuse. It's ridiculous. I hate it. Scott, I hate it. I'm angry. I hate it.
Well, you kind of taken this on a completely different tangent.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for
fine.
That.
Which is fine. You know, you may have the point there. I mean, they could probably pay minor leaguers more if they were stocked with fewer of them. So there may be something to that, but the way things are now, adding another likely failed minor leaguer to a system is in no way an embarrassment. It's
yeah.
something at least a third of the league, it sounds like, was looking into doing.
The Astros are sending Carlos Correa back to Houston to have his sore shoulder evaluated. Alex Bregman played shortstop yesterday. Yulieski Gurriel played third base. So is that the biggest takeaway here? If Correa misses time, which would stink for fantasy owners, Gurriel would probably be an everyday player or close to it?
That would be a takeaway. Also, there's a chance Gurriel could retain shortstop eligibility going into next season, which would be a pretty big deal.
Gurriel or Bregman?
I'm sorry, Bregman. But it sounds like they're talking just 2 or 3 days for Correa. It could certainly become more than that, but
okay.
Sounds like a small deal.
The Midges are back in Cleveland. They bothered the heck out of Carlos Carrasco last night. Those are gross. The Marlins could shut down Jose Fernandez early if they fall out of playoff contention, which they are really trying their hardest to do right now, it seems. Kind of a shame. They were having such a good year. So you might not have Fernandez for the last week or two of the season. Andrew Benintendi could return fairly soon from a knee sprain. Meanwhile, Yoan Moncada was rested after striking out in 7 straight at-bats and Travis Shaw homered. So if Benintendi comes back, who would be affected by this? Well, when he comes back.
Chris Young, right, has been getting most of the at-bats.
Yes.
I don't think it's anybody should really worry about in fantasy.
Yeah, Chris Young, Brock Holt, I think, has been playing there.
He's awful.
Maybe been playing there? I don't know. He pinch hit yesterday. But you're right, it'd be Chris Young. And there's no timetable for Steven Wright's return, which means Buchholz could make 2 starts next week, I suppose. Alex Reyes, Scott, he pitched in relief of Mike Leake. Leake was terrible. Reyes threw 3 2/3, allowed 1 run on 2 hits, and struck out 6 at Pittsburgh. He's 55% owned. I think it makes sense for them to at least consider bumping Leake from the rotation and putting Reyes in.
Yeah.
No?
It's not going to happen. It's not. They were the takeaways from this. It sounded like, based on the MLB.com write up, were positive in that the hits Leake allowed. It was a lot of ground ball singles.
Oh, forget this one start. Forget it. I mean, the bottom line is he's not a good enough pitcher, and they need to win. I mean, they're hanging on to the second wild card right now.
Look, if I was in charge of the Cardinals, I'd consider it. But it sounds like the people who actually aren't. So
yeah, all right.
Just remove it from your mind.
Victor Martinez tweaked his knee, which is not good. Last time he tweaked his knee, he slumped. But hopefully it's no big deal. And Russell Martin left with a knee injury. And, I got to tell you, I know you probably don't care. Maybe you do. I am so into baseball right now. What the Yankees are doing is amazing, and the American League wildcard race is just awesome. And the National League wildcard race is getting really good, too. I mean, the Mets and their horrible lineup, they can't be stopped right now. Man, baseball, this is shaping up to be a really exciting month. And I have been into these Yankees games like I haven't been in a few years. Well, the last year was fun. They made the playoffs. But this is like the worst Yankees team I can remember. And they just swept the Blue Jays. It's just, it's awesome right now.
I keep waiting for you to start talking about FanDuel.
No, or
sounds like one of
right?
your segues. Yeah.
No. Instead, I'm going to tell you about Harry's. Because guys, you should be fed up. You should be tired of being ripped off when you're buying your razors or your razor blades. Aren't you tired of spending too much on inferior products? Start using Harry's razors. Go to harrys.com, harrys.com. Our offer code is FBT. Use FBT at checkout, as in Fantasy Baseball Today, FBT, on harrys.com to get $5 off, and you'll be supporting our show as well, which would be really cool. Now, we recommend the Truman set. I use it all the time now. I get the best shave I've ever gotten. Close, smooth, no cuts. I love the shave cream. It smells really good. It's just a pleasant shaving experience. Look, it's not going to change your life. I'm not trying to oversell it here, but shaving's important. You want to look good. You want to get a clean, close shave. You'll do that with Harry's and harrys.com. It only costs $15, the Truman set, and we can make that $10 with our offer code FBT. The Truman set includes a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, and three of Harry's five-blade German-engineered razors. That is an amazing deal. $10 for three blades, shaving cream, and a razor handle. Where else can you get that? And this product is better than what you're going to get in the store. So go on harrys.com right now, harrys.com. Get the Truman set. Use our offer code FBT to save $5. Stop compromising. Give Harry's a try. I got a text back from my Mets fan. He said, haha, it's silly. At least it's baseball and he won't get close. That's probably how a lot of people feel.
Sounds like he's actively rooting against Tebow.
He's like me, a Miami Hurricanes fan, so we have trouble rooting for Florida Gators.
Look, I'm a Georgia Bulldogs fan.
Well, not anymore. Now you're a Hurricanes fan, Scott.
I watched one college football game last Saturday. And it was Georgia's, not Miami's.
Yeah, but Miami wasn't on TV. You had to watch them on the internet.
Well, I was actually watching it on the internet. So
oh, fine.
I could have chosen Miami. And look, I still may very well be a bigger Mark Richt fan than I am a Georgia fan. We'll see how the next few weeks play out. But I'm just saying, my interest wasn't completely gone as far as Georgia football goes.
Okay, I'm happy to hear that. Now, here come your streaking hitters. Who do you want to pick up? Curtis Granderson is 71% owned, three straight games with a home run. Maybe I should do this by position. Granderson, Kendrys Morales, who homered again, four home runs in his last three games. I dropped Jason Worth for him. Byron Buxton homered again. And now, since being called up, Buxton is 12 for 26 with four homers and four doubles. But he has struck out seven times in his last four games. Ender Enciarte is 48% owned. So we got Granderson, Morales, Buxton, and Enciarte. Enciarte did not homer, but he does have a 16-game hitting streak with a .408 batting average. Who are your two favorites in that group?
Enciarte. All right, the list again was Granderson, Morales, Buxton, Enciarte, right?
And I actually forgot Puig, so let's throw Puig in there. He homered.
Okay.
Against a lefty.
My two favorites, even with Puig, don't change since it was... just to start against a lefty again for Puig. So Enciarte and Buxton are my favorites. One is the safe. You can feel confident starting him, I think, every week.
Really? With Enciarte?
Enciarte?
You really feel that way?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because all he's doing is hitting for average. He's got some steals, but...
Right.
No power.
But this was...
Little
this
power.
This is what he was supposed to do all along, and I think... I can't remember exactly where he ranked... bit last year among outfielders, but it was very close to top 36.
No, he was good last year, yeah. And now he's leading off for the Braves, but I was worried about his runs scored, because runs scored were very big for Enciarte last year. The Braves are scoring runs right now.
Right, they are. Yeah, and I don't expect that to change. I think it's possible he could continue to... I mean, obviously, since the All-Star break, his BABIP is through the roof, but I think it's possible he stays hot right through the rest of the season. He is such, having actually gotten a chance to watch him more regularly now, I mean, his strikeout rate's low to begin with, which is, of course, helps with batting average, but just the kind of contact he makes, it's so, it at least gives the appearance as being, what's the best word?
Transcendent.
Contemplated, maybe. Oh. Like, there's a deliberateness to where he hits the ball, it feels like. So
he has a good approach.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, kind of an Ichiro light approach, maybe.
I can dig that.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Morales. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I couldn't leave him on waivers anymore.
Yeah. I will mention with Buxton, even though he has four home runs since getting called up, and yeah, he's kind of the upside pick here for me. Three straight games with two strikeouts. So maybe he's beginning to descend into his old habits.
Yep. I saw two of the four home runs he hit, and they were like blasts. He crushed them. So there's reason to own these guys. Puig. Again, it was just against a lefty, Robbie Ray, who we need to talk about. We need to see some more regular playing time from Yasiel Puig. Now with the infielders, we got CJ Crone. He homered again. Jung Ho Gang has homered three times in his last two games. And Jose Reyes has homered in two straight games. He's, you know, hitting very well. Scott talked about him last week. And Adam Lind, you know, homered twice against Texas. Probably don't need to worry about Adam Lind. He's going to sit against lefties, and he's fine against righties. But Reyes, Gong, and Crone, Reyes or Gong? Let's start with that.
Reyes, if only because of playing time. But it's not like Reyes' production is letting you down in any way. What does he have? Six home runs, eight steals so far in about 150 at-bats?
I've been very surprised, pleasantly surprised.
Yes. But it's not like this is beyond his skill set. Certainly seen this from him before.
Yeah. And CJ Crone. CJ Crone, Kendrys Morales. Who would you rather take a shot on right now?
Crone. I feel like his is more sustainable.
Okay. Crone or Buxton?
I mean, they play different positions, so that would come into the decision. But if it's to fill a utility spot, I'll say Crone.
So that would be your streaking hitters for today. Seems like we have some good hitters to talk about. A lot of home runs lately. Just good guys that are available on waivers. You know, there's stuff out there for you, and not too many players in your league trying to pick them up. So I'm going to ask you some 2017 questions. I want to do this fairly regularly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Little comparison.
I'm ready to start talking 2017.
Me too.
And we got to take care of 2016 first. I understand that, but a little look ahead for when you inevitably drop out of your race. You being the royal, you, not you specifically, Adam.
2017, who would you rather have? Jonathan Villar with 15 home runs this year, by the way, or Troy Tulowitzki?
Ooh. I think you got to go VR there. I mean, it's like I can't really count VR as one of the elite shortstops going into next year up there with the Correas and Lindors of the world, although he is mixed up with them this year. But yeah, he's at 15 homers, 50 steals.
I mean, those
numbers are just so overwhelming, and the steals especially. Like even if you're thinking, okay, he can't possibly do this again. I mean, he does two-thirds of that. You're still talking about a very valuable player, particularly in Roto.
Jonathan Villar, I would say, is... I'm just trying to think here, because this is totally off the top of my head. I would say he's the waiver wire pickup of the year. Jonathan Villar is the number three shortstop in points leagues and number one in Roto.
He's number one in Roto? I mean, I guess it shouldn't surprise me with all those steals.
Good batting average, .299, 15 home runs.
And the batting average is what I trust the least, but he's become such a high on base guy apart from that I'm not sure he needs to hit better than .250. So it's I can't think off the top of my head of who would have been more valuable. Well, Porcello,
But Porcello was drafted.
Was more widely drafted.
VR was not drafted.
VR was, you know, barely getting looks in NL only leagues. So, yeah, definitely a different category of waiver wire pickup there.
Yeah, pretty awesome. Jonathan VR. All right, next up, 2017. Ulieski Gurriel or Byron Buxton?
It really is going to depend how the last 3 weeks go, right?
Yeah.
I guess I'd lean Gurriel now because I still have that distrust of Buxton from all the failed stints earlier. And Gurriel, what, he just hit his first home run yesterday?
Yeah.
He has struck out one every six at-bats or so, something that leads me to believe, okay, there's genuine upside here. But, you know, the last 3 weeks will say a lot as far as those two go.
David Price or Justin Verlander? All of a sudden, David Price is the number 10 starting pitcher in points leagues, number 16 in Roto. Verlander is fourth in both. He's definitely had a better year. But Price is 5-0 with a 1.85 ERA in his last five starts against some pretty weak competition, but still, he's Price. Who do you like better next year, Price or Verlander?
I do have Verlander higher in my rest of season rankings, but I'm going to go Price for next year. I think, you know, as much angst as there's been, you just said it, Adam, as much angst as there's been about Price's performance all year, he's a top 10 pitcher.
And in points leagues.
Yeah, what, well, 16 in Roto?
Yeah.
Either way, you're talking about a borderline ace.
Sure.
A guy who's had, you know, by any headline you'd read, just this awful, miserable failure of a season, which tells you a little something about his ability. And I think it'll be a much more even performance from him next year. And maybe Verlander will be fine, but obviously we've seen a lot of unevenness from him over the years.
Scott, I want to look at four up and one down here, and then we'll get into some of the pitchers from yesterday, like Dylan Bundy, Mike Montgomery, Matt Garza, Brian Mitchell, Brock Stewart, Andrew Cashner, Robbie Ray with a 67% ownership. Ray, 195 strikeouts and 155 and a third. But first, some hitters. Carlos Beltran, looks like he's back, .439 batting average with three home runs, five walks and six strikeouts in his last 10 games, and Beltran had a 161 average in the 17 games before this 10-game stretch, but four walks, 10 strikeouts. I mean, it's pretty bad, four walks in 17 games. What do you make of Beltran turning it around?
Yeah, I think he's must start, outfield being what it is.
Okay.
I think he's fine. This is why...
That works.
I mean, if somebody like Beltran is having this abrupt of a turnaround, that's why I'm reluctant to sit any of the really high-end hitters who may be struggling this time of year.
How about Melky Cabrera, 75% owned? He is really a points league specialist, 30th in points, 48th in Roto at the outfield position. But in his last 10 games, Melky is batting .349 with a home run, 9 RBIs, and 4 doubles. You know, if you saw Buxton out there, or Morales, or who was the other guy you liked, the outfielder?
Ender Inciarte.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you keep Melky Cabrera, or would you make the swap?
Well, are we talking about points or Roto?
You can specify.
You said Melky's more of a points league guy, and that's true. Ender Inciarte probably is too. They're both the safe options, which I think are more the kind you're looking at this time of year. You know, in April, May, I don't know that I could have justified using a roster spot on Melky or Inciarte because obviously there was a lot of potential from other hitters and we just didn't know how the season was going to play out. But that's out the window now. You just need the most you can get in your lineup right now. And I think that puts Inciarte and Melky at the top of the list. I'd probably rank them in that order too.
Okay. And four up number three is Jose Peraza. He's 24% owned. This blows my mind. Jose Peraza has had 150 at-bats. He has scored 15 runs. And I think it's just bad luck for him because he's batting .347. To score once every 10 at-bats is bad. And he's four games as a leadoff hitter. Jose Peraza has scored zero runs with a .400 on-base percentage. I don't know if the Reds just got ice cold really quickly or what. I know the Mets pitching did pretty well against them. But, you know, look, the fact is he's 24% owned. He'd probably be showing up higher in the rankings over the last month or so if he were scoring more runs. 14 steals, batting .347. He had a couple of doubles yesterday. And Billy Hamilton is not making their next road trip because of the oblique injury, so maybe that keeps Peraza in the lineup and leading off. Is Peraza under-owned at 24%?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And, yeah, he's had bad luck with the runs. It'd help if he'd walk a little ever. Doesn't do that. But he's doing exactly what his minor league profile made him out to do, hit for average and steal bases, and especially the latter. I think makes him must-own in Roto right now, considering who knows when Hamilton's coming back. There's a very good chance he doesn't come back at all, which means you have this guy who would be on about a 40 steal pace if he had been an everyday player, available, eligible at three positions, and yeah, he also helps in batting average. So I think he needs to be picked up in a lot more leagues.
And four up, number four, I just want to give this split for Starlin Castro. If you have Castro and you're wondering, do I start him, do I sit him? Starlin Castro is batting .311 with a .333 on base and a .516 slugging percentage with 14 home runs at home. And Castro is batting .222 with 6 home runs and a .348 slugging percentage on the road. So that is a split that you probably could believe. Much, much better at home all year long. One down is Jonathan Scope. He's 87% owned. Pre-All-Star break, Scope had a .304, .338, .509 slash line with 14 homers. Since the All-Star break, Scope is batting .230 with 7 home runs and a .390 slugging percentage in 52 games. He's been terrible. Any reason to hang on to Scope? Because he is the kind of guy that could get really hot, right? I mean, what do you think?
It just depends if you actually need a second baseman. I feel like few fantasy owners do this time of year. So there's not much reason to keep him around on your bench in that case. But if let's say you had been relying on Neil Walker and lost him recently, or you have somebody you're kind of unsure about, like Devin Travis, then you might need to hold on to Scope. Because like you said, he could get hot.
Nobody in the rotation today, so let's go to the fringy starting pitchers. I would say Dylan Bundy ranks among one of my biggest disappointments now. I just want to know if there's a health issue, because I remember he was pitching really well and then he hurt his ankle in a start. Things went bad in that start, and I think Bundy's been bad ever since. But he's 80% owned. Bundy's at Boston next week. I don't really see a reason to own him at this point, Scott. And quite frankly, like, I was pretty excited about Bundy going into next year. And I think I still am. I think the stuff is really good. But where are you on Dylan Bundy?
You know, it'd be interesting to see when exactly he did hurt his ankle, because I had forgotten about that. There has been, in the last 5-6 starts, a drop in velocity, average fastball velocity, according to Brooks Baseball. He went from averaging about 95 to between 93 and 94. So still very good velocity, but it's kind of in line with these struggles. And maybe it is health related. Maybe it is just getting late in the season and he doesn't have the same strength he used to. So either of those is plausible to me. And actually, I overstated it. It was more like he went from 95, 96 to, 93, 94. I got it right.
Yeah. That's important. That's significant.
Yeah.
I certainly don't see a reason to own Drew Smyly. Look, Smyly struggled at home yesterday against Baltimore, but he had been pretty good at home before that. But he's at Toronto next week. If you're playing week to week, you know, you're not starting Smyly at Toronto. You're pretty much not starting him on the road. Jeremy Hellickson, are you losing your trust in him? Hellickson has a 2-start week, 3 pretty disappointing ones in a row, and Pittsburgh and Miami both at home next week.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I might still go with him in the 2-start week. He hasn't been as good lately, but I mean, I don't know. He's even this one was okay.
Yeah, but this was the best of his last three. I don't know. The thing is, probably everybody felt this way, but who actually really trusted Jeremy Hellickson? Even when he was going good, you know, there was so much bad there in the past for Hellickson, and I was just kind of waiting for the wheels to fall off. And it's got 3.90 ERA. He's not even having that good of a year.
I actually feel like he's a little underrated, to be honest. And obviously the last three starts aren't really making me look good as far as that goes. But his changeup is arguably the most dominant pitch in baseball. And that's a pretty new development for him. So I think there is something here and good enough control that I don't think he's going to burn you too badly. Home runs are an issue, and yeah, it's a small home park. But I think they're, he's probably going to be on the higher end of two-star pitchers who you'd be on the fence about in a mixed league, whose ownership percentage is such that it wouldn't be obvious that you'd start him. If that
makes
sense.
And Hellickson's 73% owned. Robbie Ray pitched last night. He gave up three runs with four walks in six innings, but 12 strikeouts. That was at the Dodgers. Ray has Colorado and, again, the Dodgers at home next week. You know, is Ray a guy, we could talk about two-star pitchers tomorrow and all that, but is Ray a guy that you will project as a breakout next year with this unbelievable strikeout rate?
It's something I'm going to look into for sure. Because it's the strikeout rate, I mean, it's up there with anybody. Jose Fernandez, it may actually even lead all the baseball. I haven't checked recently. But the walks after looking like he'd kind of put that to bed, the walks have come back here the last three starts, and they've been bad starts overall, even though he's striking out 13. So it's something I'm going to have to wrestle with. How big of a detriment is that? How likely he is to overcome it? Because clearly there is plenty of swing and miss potential here.
Yeah, he's Liriano.
Well,
good comparison. Not this year's Liriano.
Liriano early in his career, maybe, and you know he could use a healthy dose of Ray Searidge, I think.
No, yeah, probably. But high walk, high strikeout guy with Liriano. Oh, that was where I was going with that. Andrew Cashner. I know nobody wants to buy in Andrew Cashner. He had a very good start. Well, 5 1/3, 4 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts against Philadelphia. You could chalk it up and say it's Philadelphia, but guess what? Cashner's got 2 starts next week at Atlanta, at Philadelphia. Now, we fell into the trap with Gio Gonzalez. He had the same exact matchups this week, and he was terrible at Atlanta. And Gonzalez has been a better pitcher than Cashner this year. So how should fantasy owners feel if they see Andrew Cashner on their waiver wire?
I don't know. Just how much do you want that second start? I would prioritize Hellickson over him. But at the same time, he's probably going to be in the upper 20 as far as two-star pitchers go. So that would make him advisable in some way if you're really looking for a two-star pitcher. But I don't think he's must start.
All right, let's go to the deep leagues now. These guys are all owned in less than 10% of leagues. Do you have any interest in Mike Montgomery, who's at St. Louis next week? Matt Garza, who is at Cincinnati next week. Brian Mitchell, 2 starts against the Dodgers and at Boston. No thanks. Brock Stewart. I believe Brock Stewart is a 2-start pitcher. He has the Yankees on the road and the Diamondbacks on the road. And that's it for the pitchers. And then I'll ask you about Tom Murphy. But Montgomery, Garza, Mitchell, Stewart. Do you see any potential in these guys?
Yes, I do.
Ooh.
Particularly Stewart.
Ooh, yeah. Stewart with great minor league season, right?
Ridiculous minor league numbers. And even though he only struck out 1 in this start, remember, he struck out 8 last time out against the Cubs.
Yeah, in 5 innings.
Right. So he talked about how he didn't have his best stuff in this start, and it still was a very good start. So, you know, apart from the strikeouts. So I actually took it as encouraging, but I don't trust him to make 2 starts next week. I don't. Dodgers' rotation is such a mess. I just don't think you can count on that. So if that's the reason you're picking him up, you should really think long and hard about that, because there's a very good chance you're going to get 1 5-inning start, and maybe it'll be good, maybe it won't.
I like him
just in a general sense. I do also want to mention Matt Garza, because his last couple starts have been really good, like the best we've seen from Garza in a couple years. And I know after that first start, the first of those 2 starts, which was against the Cardinals, he talked about just how he feels healthy finally,
mm-hmm.
and how much of a difference that's made in terms of trusting his stuff. which is a lot of pitcher speak, I know. But through two starts, the results seem to line up with it. It's going to be hard to trust him at this stage of the season, at a make or break moment, but I think he bears watching at the very least.
Yeah, looking at, you know, just how well, if I'm remembering correctly, Bartolo Colon, Rafael Montero walked a lot of guys but didn't give up a lot of runs. That was all at Cincinnati, and that's Garza's matchup next week. So, you know, it's obviously you got to be pretty desperate or in a deep league, but something to keep in mind. Injuries, news, and notes. Starling Marte has been dealing with back spasms. Michael Franco is day-to-day with a jammed thumb. Marcelo Zuna returned to the lineup for the Marlins. He went 2-for-4 with a double against the Phillies. Gerardo Parra left with a hamstring injury. Colby Lewis is scheduled to pitch Sunday. Chris Tillman is scheduled to pitch Sunday. Tonight's games. Oh, also, another important note. I asked my friend, the Mets fan, if he's rooting for Tebow, and he said no. He is not.
So, if Tebow succeeds, even though it will help his team...
Yeah, he doesn't want that.
He would be disappointed.
I think if it really helped his team, he'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
But I think that's so remote, that possibility, that he's just going to root against them. Play it safe. All right, tonight we got Alex Cobb at the Yankees against CC Sabathia. Woo, boy, I think they're both tough calls. What do you think?
You know, I'm going to lean yes on both of them. They are tough calls. I think Sabathia's had a lot of bad luck all season, and lately has gotten better results, a little bit better lately. Good matchup, of course. And Cobb, I mean, he looked fine his first start back from Tommy John surgery and was obviously considered a must-start pitcher before then. So even though the matchup's a little iffier, if it's him or nothing, I think I'll go with him.
We've got Alec Asher and A.J. Cole. The Phillies are at the Nationals. You're not going to start Asher, I assume. What about A.J. Cole against the Phillies? Sneaky play?
Yeah, he is a sneaky play. Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Would you prefer Cobb or Cole?
Cobb.
All right, and am I selling Asher short, or is he a sit?
No. I wouldn't bother with him.
Okay. We got Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, Dan Straley and the red-hot Ivan Nova. This is an interesting pitching matchup. Do you trust both of these guys at this point?
Trust is a little strong, but I think I'm going to go yes here to both of them.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you, before I get to Texas, Seattle, and Milwaukee, St. Louis, and Colorado, San Diego, somebody homered. As of now, we're in the bottom of the fourth inning of the Cleveland-Houston game. The score is Cleveland 6, Houston 2. One player is homered. Who do you think it is?
Cleveland 6, Houston 2. Is it Gurriel?
It is!
Oh,
nice
really?
Guess, Scott!
Wow.
Two in a row for Gurriel.
Good
Love
job.
It. All right, we got three games left. Let's go to Milwaukee, St. Louis. Junior Guerra, Jaime Garcia, the JG combo there. Junior Guerra, Jaime Garcia, who are you starting? Who are you sitting? Guerra's last start was 3 1/3 off the DL after a month on the DL. 3 1/3 scoreless, 5 hits, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts at Pittsburgh. What do you think here?
Yeah, if I own Guerra, I'll throw him in there, sure.
Jaime Garcia?
It may be a short start, but I think it'll be good percentages. And Garcia, no.
Okay.
Stay away from him. It's just too risky.
Texas has Derek Holland on the mound against Taijuan Walker. Good luck to you. If you start Taijuan Walker and he does well, it's a tip of the cap from me to you. You cannot possibly think about that and feel confident starting Walker. What about Holland?
I'd feel okay starting Holland. Yep.
You sound jazzed. Jeff Hoffman, Clayton Richard, Colorado at San Diego. Are you starting either of these guys?
No.
Richard? I feel like Richard's been good lately.
He has. He has.
Yeah, look at his last three starts. 0 runs. 18 innings, well, 0 runs.
I know we're trying to keep this exercise simple, but there are a lot of variables to consider here. Who am I answering this question for?
You are answering for the Daily Lineup League owner, mm-hmm. who just, you know, is thinking, well, do I just start the guy and get the strikeouts and potentially a win or a quality start? Or am I risking too much with the ERA and the whip?
Right, right.
I am in the perfect scenario in my daily league. I am winning like 8-3 or something. And I am losing. Two of the categories I'm losing are ERA and whip. But I'm barely losing them. The bottom line is I can afford to lose them and still maybe win, still probably win the week. So I am going to start Alex Cobb and just get the counting stats. And I could see him having a good start anyway and helping me in ERA and whip. But even if he struggles, really won't hurt me that much. I don't know why I wanted to share that with everybody, but I did. That's my one league that I have a chance to win. So I'm really hopeful. I really want to win that stinking league.
Kind of to finish the point I was bringing up.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Who am I answering this for? There are pitchers who, if I already own them, you know, am I just going to take the zero or am I going to put them in my lineup? Probably lean yes more often than not. But then there are ones like Clayton Richard, who he's just sitting out there. Could I pick him up for this one start? I don't think it's worth it. I mean, there's a chance there could be a net benefit to it, but the chance of it being just awful is high enough that I don't think I'd bother.
Let's read some emails, Scott White. So this is from Seth. Dear Justin and Maxie, with two X's. You know that.
I do?
Yeah, it's easy.
Justin.
It's Justin Timberlake and Maxi, I don't know, VJ Maxi, according to Google. You and I are bringing Sexy back. I think that's the point. Someone just dropped Keon Broxton in my head-to-head points league. Should I pick him up and drop Odubel Herrera, Andrew Bailey, Jung Ho Gong, or Jose Peraza?
Can you say those names again?
I sure can. Would you drop any of the following for Keon Broxton? Odubel Herrera, Andrew Bailey, Jung Ho Gong, or Jose Peraza? Points league.
Man, they're all pretty low end in a points league. Unless you need another closer, I'd probably drop Bailey. He's bottom of the barrel as far as that goes.
Sure. All right, we got one from Jerry. I wanted your opinion. Oh, he says, hey, Gary, Austin, and Brian. You know them?
Those sound like new Yankees, right?
No, not quite.
No, Yankees catchers.
Yeah,
Yankees
there you go.
Catchers.
I wanted your opinion. I got into an argument with someone in my league who's out of the playoffs and in a consolation game where no money's on the table. He continues to do ad drops. What do you consider proper etiquette for teams out of the playoffs?
Look, if you're setting up consolation games, I mean, you're giving teams an incentive to compete still. So you have to let them do ad drops. If you don't want this to happen to the playoff teams and have a player pulled out from under them by a team who's not really in it, don't set up consolation games.
It's interesting because I set up consolation games in one of our office leagues. Heath was in the consolation game, and the consolation game was to get your money back. The other game was for more money. And I let them do ad drops, but only because there was money on the table. I don't know. First of all, why would you even set up a consolation game if there's no money on the table? Like, give them their money back, make them play for something. That does complicate it a little bit.
I mean, you are consoled to some degree if you feel like, okay, I finished third instead of fourth or whatever. But if you're not even going to let them make play, which, you know, part of playing is making ad drops, then there's no need for a consolation game. Like, to me, there's not even really an argument here. Either teams are still playing or they're not. And if they're not, they shouldn't do ad drops. If they are, they should.
This is from Matt. What happened to Ben Revere? Well, first of all, he says, hey, Marty and Sean. Who are Marty and Sean? Why are we so bad at this?
Well, how do you spell Sean?
S-H-A-W-N.
Marty and Sean.
Oh, that's, I think that's wrestling. We don't know wrestling, okay, Matt?
Well, it doesn't help that now there's only two of us guessing when there used to be three.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, three heads are better than two. What's up with Ben Revere? He hit 300 pretty much for 3 years with speed and has been horrible this year. Do you think it's because Revere got hurt opening day, or is this like a Michael Bourne-like fall-off?
Probably the latter. A guy who, you know, his only real skill is speed. The fact he's not running anymore, it makes it less surprising to me that he's not hitting anymore either. So I would not be interested in drafting Revere next year, except maybe a league-specific format.
From Antoine, I'm winning this week. I'm going to move on to the next round of the playoffs. Should I stick with Jacob deGrom or drop him and stream one of the following? Matt Boyd, Ventura, Eichhoff, Kohler, Phelps, Eduardo Rodriguez.
Ooh. It's kind of tempting to pick up the two-star Boyd.
Yeah.
But, man, I how comfortable are you with your next matchup? That would help determine it for me, because obviously you got to move on, but you don't want to move on and lose to the guy who picked up DeGrom either. So it's a tough call. I think I'd lean toward keeping DeGrom, because it's possible they just skip him one turn and he's right back and dealing again. So I think I'd stick with DeGrom most likely.
Finally, Scott, Will in Normal, Illinois, is making the playoffs and earning a first-round bye, and he wants to know who the two-star pitchers will be in 2 weeks. Will says, would it typically be Friday pitch this week, Wednesday pitch next week, then Monday the following week? And yes, that is the case. The best way to guess the two-star pitchers would be looking at the Friday guys. In 2 weeks, they should be two-star pitchers, but as Scott said, it's so unpredictable this time of year. So do with that what you will. And that's it for today's show. All right. Go out there and get yourself some Ender Inciarte and maybe some Brock Stewart. And we'll break down the two-star pitchers a little bit more in depth tomorrow. And not too many games on the schedule tonight, but we'll talk about them on tomorrow's show. See you later, Scott White.
Talk to you later, Adam.
I'm Adam Azer. Thanks for listening. Back with more on Friday on Fantasy Baseball Today. Machado.